love him.
Can you sing it with me?
I love him all because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary. Let us enter these gates with thanksgiving down on our hearts. Enter into these courts with praise. Let us say this is the day the Lord hath made. Wanna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Wanna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Wanna rejoice 'cause Jesus. Can you sing that again? So we've entered into the gates with thanksgiving down in our heart. Entered into these courts with praise. And we say this is the day the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, I am going to the city where the streets with gold are laid, where the tree of life its bloom. Yeah, babe, but for the season, then their beauty fades away. Tonight, I want to talk to you just a little bit. I probably will just talk to you. Jesus did that so much. Just talk to the people. And in the very first part of the book of Revelation, we refer to it so often, the revelation of Jesus Christ. A lot of people don't understand that. We talk about it so often, and still they don't understand what we're saying. It's like a brother was telling me, been in the gospel for many years. Outstanding ministry in the family, as supposed to be. But was just telling me recently that a television evangelist came to preach for him and said what the man said was clear over his head. He just couldn't understand it. Well, anyway, we talk about the revelation. We know about the revelation to the extent that We know it does say the revelation. And we know that Paul was always talking about a revelation. And the Bible speaks in one place that we should do thus and thus, that we should have this great refreshing at the coming of the revelation. And there was given to Paul a revelation, a mystery. A mystery. What is the revelation? A revelation is an expressed mystery. It is a revealed mystery. Something that's hidden, something that is concealed. And then all of a sudden, it is unveiled, it is revealed, it is called the revealing or the revelation. So this is called the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now you would think that there would be no need for God to reveal Jesus Christ. In that Jesus came, he was a man, he walked among the people. And we would say God revealed him in the sense that the great mighty things that he did testified of his deity. But then that wasn't sufficient, because whatever Jesus did, most all of the things, it appeared that the prophets did great things just as well. But there was some difference. But the people did not accept it. But the Bible says the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto Jesus Christ, unto him. So it's very obvious that there's something that is concealed or hid within the body of Jesus while he walked the earth in his day. There was something there. There's something that's still there when I say there is, because the body of the Lord Jesus Christ is still present. So there is something that's hid away, something that the world doesn't see, something that has to be revealed. And in that there is, then it's called the hidden mystery. Should it come forth to be revealed, it would be called the revelation of Jesus Christ. So this is what we're saying. Now, I'm not going to minister tonight on the revelation of Jesus Christ or these kind of things as to try to get into a mystery or to get into anything else. I'm not planning to try to do that. I am planning to talk with you from the Word of the Lord and share with you a few things tonight. First of all, I want to approach this the right way. I want to talk about it in the right spirit. I want it understood and received in the right spirit. And I don't want to be offensive. The Bible says it's better that a millstone be tied about your neck and ye drowned in the depths of the sea than to offend one of these little ones that trust in me. And I've given my life a great deal to the ministry, and I'd be very foolish not to observe these sayings and to want to perform this in my life, knowing that as well as you, I have to stand before Almighty God and give an account for everything I've ever said. Not only that, folks, but we have to give an account for everything we've ever thought. For the Bible said, by this gospel that I preach, someday God will judge the very secrets of your heart. And it is so close that the man of God in the past years, back in the Old Testament, said, I pray to God and ask God to forgive me for the intents of my heart. To the intent of the heart. So it's good to think over these things. And when I say this, I'm just saying that I have to say things up here if I bring out the truth. Otherwise, I compromise just like everybody else does. If I try to spare you or your feelings as to the natural man, then I am in a bondage. I cannot let God speak, neither can I express anything as to present-day truth or past truth. Because in any direction that I move, I'm going to offend somebody. For the Bible says, in many things we offend all. Blessed is he that's not offended in me. So then there's many things that we say that is him, not us speaking, but him, and it is a truth that's brought forth to us as the great, wonderful God of truth that we might love the truth and we stand to defend the truth.
So,
as Paul said, we're rude in speech, but not in knowledge. So I say these things, and it becomes offensive. It becomes offensive to different people, to different races, to different nationalities, to different walks and levels of life, to different species, whether male or female or whatever it might be, or youth or aged. And it's always there. It's always going to be offensive if I tell the truth, if I stand for the truth. And because of this, a lot of ministers that get these things, perhaps, that you get, they're never made mention of because of that. And they don't want to injure the money cost. And they do everything they can to be pious and to fit everybody's way of thinking. And therefore, they never disturb anybody. They never put any ripples in the water. They don't have to worry. They just try to work with everybody so that they can remain in the same corrupt condition that they are when they come to be their subject. And as a result of that, they never get anywhere. They never get born again. They never get straightened out. They are never purged to bring forth real fruit. They are never, never accepted as the trees of the living God, though they're in the rain, and though you hear people speak in tongues, and though you know that they see visions and prophecies and all the gifts. Great revivals compass land and sea to make a proselyte too full to mold their child of hell. And all these kind of things. And they build great churches. Great things they do. Speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. And being in bondage to the things of the world, they allure and draw many people into bondage, some who would clear escape from the corruption of this world. So we try just to be as honest as we can. We try not to offend, and we don't mean anything wrong. And I say things, and when I do, it is not because I am partial. It is not because I am respect a person. It's not because I love one better than the other. It is not because I care for the red man more than I do the white man, or the white man more than I do the black man, or the black man more than I do the yellow man. It's not that at all. I try just to tell you what I understand. And God made the white man, the black man, the yellow man, the red man, and He loves them very dearly. They're His children. There's not one speck of difference. Not one iota of difference. He did not love Peter better than Paul, nor Paul better than Peter. But He did choose one for one operation and another for another operation. One spirit, many operations. And Peter boldly stood up and said, "See, brethren, how that God hath made a difference between us, choosing me." That is, giving me the keys to the kingdom. Choosing me to open the doors to the Gentile people, though he was a Jew. Then obviously, there was a dispute between Paul and Peter, and God suddenly chose Paul. And it looked like that he had hurt Peter's feelings. Whereas the Lord didn't practice not hurting people's feelings, nor did he practice hurting people's feelings. He did not just come out when he had chosen 12 and say to Judas, "You are a devil." But he did say, "I've chosen 12 and one of you is a devil." He did boldly come out and say to Peter, even after entrusting the keys to Peter and these kind of things, knowing that he was going to do that or having done these things, he did say to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan," speaking to the spirit that Peter had allowed for. And he didn't spare the feelings. For the Bible said, "Sparing him, there'll be pricks in your side." He was just what he was. He wasn't trying to be offensive. He saw the devil. He heard the devil as it used Peter and tried to trip him up and tried to get him to be melancholy about having to go to Calvary. So he openly rebuked the spirit. Now, we're somewhat like that. I don't compare myself with Jesus or with the apostles. They were so much greater than I, or the prophets. But I do say one thing, that we do speak similar. The Spirit of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as the Bible said, I ever spoke openly before you. In secret have I said nothing. And yet, there are things where the Bible said, and a wise man concealeth the matter, as to things that are to be said that's supposed to be kept in a concealed manner. So I say all these things to kind of lay a platform to let you understand that when I say something, there's no need of you getting upset, no need of you feeling like I'm prejudiced or I'm trying to do something or I'm partial to whatever it is. Because when I say these things, it really is God testing you. And it gives him a chance to find out whether you are really genuine or whether you're not genuine. And whether you can really stand anything as the truth and whether or not you love truth. And it'll certainly bring out of you whatever is on the inside of you. Truth always does that. So I said tonight, even mentioned to my wife, I said I'm going to try to talk to them a little. Mention a few things that perhaps you already know and you're already acquainted with, and maybe you're not. Now, first of all, I don't need to be partial because all flesh has corrupted its way before God. Like I was telling somebody yesterday, when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit the kingdom?" Jesus said, "Keep the commandments." "Oh," he said, "I've kept these from my youth up." My, what a lie. Someone would say, "What do you mean, Brother Pike?" When Jesus said, "Sell all that you've got and give to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me." He couldn't do that. The Bible said he had so much wealth, he couldn't do that. Now, he could keep all the commandments, but he couldn't do that. Now, don't you see how he lied? One of the great commandments is love the neighbor as thyself. And so the neighbor starves to death while self feeds like a king. But we've kept that commandment. See, first of all, he lied because it's like Paul said, "Ye have the law and none of you keep it." So he hadn't kept it any more than anybody else. It was evident that he hadn't. And then besides that, the Bible said all flesh has corrupted its way. And he was part of flesh. So then Jesus alone was the only one who was not corrupted. Even they that had not sinned at the similitude of Adam were still under the curse and in corruption. Only Christ Jesus, he was the only one that wasn't. But someone would say, "But he was flesh." He was flesh. He was. And the Bible said, "Inasmuch as the children partook of flesh and blood, so he also partook of the same." And yet the original word says not all, just flesh and bones. He didn't partake of the blood. And when they said a spirit, he said, "Fill of me a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." But it was a different flesh, because this was a different blood cell. It had not come through human instrumentality. It was not of Adam, as in Adam all die. This was the beginning of a new generation, a new blood cell, a new act of God, a recreation. Brother Branham spoke of something one time, and he spoke of speaking some squirrels into existence, and he called that something like the third pull, and said God was talking about the third pull. Well, there's some things that we could say along the line of what Jesus did when it came to the recreation or the washing of regeneration. And it would really be intriguing. It would really be interesting. It'd take quite a long while. And it would have to do with the present day truth and an application of as of this very moment, as of yesterday and the past few days, as to the holiday that just come to be of the Jews, Yom Kippur, and some of these other kind of things. And I could go into things, because as I talk, I've got your attention, you're beginning to hungry a little. Hunger, that is. You're becoming hungry a little. You're beginning to hunger a little. And when I first come, everything is usually so flat. But in a few minutes, as I begin to talk, then I begin to get your spirit And God begins to move. Just as quick as the Spirit comes in, God will begin to speak, because God is a Spirit and He is the Father of spirits. And just as quick as your spirit comes in, He begins to deal with your spirit and judge your spirit and feed your spirit and weigh your spirit in the balance. But I want to say some things here that, as I said, that is just presently happening, some things that you know about. It's just an intellectual concept, and yet it is truth as to revealing a little here and a little there, as to make you understand or stop, consider these kind of things. With what we just said as to recreation, some of you would be somewhat familiar with the terms we're using. And if we went first power, second power, third power, and as that, you'd understand more if we took a long time to go into a teaching, which most of you don't like for me to do. And I try not to do it. As I say, I usually spend lots of time talking to the different brethren, and sometimes I take hours because they want the Lord to do it. And they make themselves available so He will do it. And they patiently sit and listen almost without saying a word, so as to be sure they don't interfere with Him when He does do it. And when I come to the church, it's different. We're hoping for a short sermonette or something stimulating, or better, as to preach and really shake us up and feel the vibrations of the Spirit and feel that quickening, say, my God, the anointing's here, you know, and the load lifts and this kind of thing. And that's what we expect to do. Consequently, Jesus never did do that. He had a way of doing things, but it wasn't that way. By the foolishness of preaching, it pleased God that men should be saved. And we are trying to bring forth an edification as to tutor and teach, unless we are preaching for lost souls, whereas we're having different ones coming to salvation. We prayed for Clifford last night, and I felt the yoke break off of him. His faith sincerely went up to God, and I felt a surge of God strike his heart. And today, Jonathan, he came and he gave his heart to God. The tears filled his eyes, and the surge of God went into him as his faith went up. And the man that came the other day from Florida, we prayed for him, and the surge of God's power went through him, and he felt that inspiration of the quickening, the vibrations, and his eyes filled with tears, and he gave his heart to God, and on and on and on, and we could name numbers of different people. See, and this happens, and the yoke breaks. But I come here and I try to talk to you like dear children. And I try to perfect your faith. We're set here for the perfecting of your faith. And I try to perfect your faith, and I try to say some things that will help you. And as to your sickness, as to your problems, I try to minister to you. Not only just to lay hands on you if it's a severe thing, or answer a telephone call, or when you come to my door, or we pray for people out in the field, down the building, wherever. I try to minister to you and try to be the right kind of shepherd. But at night, I try to pray. Like yesterday, about 3 or 4 days ago, something had come to me about Sister Cantrell. It's about 3 or 4 days ago. And I was aware that something was in the makings, and I just sat there in my spirit and thoughts, communicating with the Lord about it, and some things that we had understood. And of course, yesterday, I guess it was, or just recently, she had a bad wreck. And I think her daughter-in-law maybe was in there with her, the son's child. And it was a pretty bad wreck. Then they had just had one grandbaby that had got hit by a car of the daughters. And these things, I have been looking at these things, seeing different things. And I went to God last night after getting the brethren to pray, immediately when I found out about it. I went to God last night and I prayed. And all night long, being there before God, all night long, I pray for them. Then in a little while, I would pray for them again. And in a little while, I would pray for them again and pray for them again, the same way we did Jason and others. See, and pray for them again. I remember Brother Lundebo had told me about the little one, and he was so grateful that God had heard his prayers because he really tried to offer faith for the little one and said, keep praying. And I gave him my word I would, and I did. So the Lord has been merciful. He spared and he spared and he spared. See, and I said that to say this. I pray for you. I go to God and I pray for you. I don't just say, Lord, have mercy on Brother Taylor-in-law. You know, but I try to pray for him. And it might be one time, two times, three times, whatever it is. But I try, as Paul said, to make mention of you always in my prayers in remembrance. And I try to pray for all mankind. The Bible said pray, offer prayer for all men. So I pray for you. I'm concerned about you without respect to person. And in praying for the Cantrails, I got a report today that everything is turning out pretty good. And in a wreck, you know, it's miraculous. If something don't happen to you, that you get bruised or whatever. That's a real rare occasion. But then on the other hand, they love the Lord. They serve the Lord. And the angels of God watch after them just like he does me, whether it's a wreck for me, a wreck for you, a wreck for anyone, and most about all of us. I've had my share of the wrecks. I don't know about you, but before I ever turned around and really got lined up with the Lord, I had one bad, bad situation right after another. Mine wasn't little ones, and I've related numbers of those things to you. But he was merciful to me, to my wife, to my children. And it still continued to be that way, for which I'm grateful. And I prayed and I made a statement yesterday that it's a miracle that you go as much as you do to my meetings and still come back and God takes care of you. And even if you have a wreck, he has provided, he has taken care of you. And I prayed continually while I was in the meetings and prayed at home continually. Lord, please don't let my people get hurt. Don't let them get killed. Don't let nothing happen to the loved ones. Over 20 years here we've had, and we've not had one casualty that I know of one of our children to be killed or seriously hurt on the campground by an automobile or whatever. You work with me. Johnny has worked with me. Others have tried to work with me and do the things I ask, and it's worked out wonderfully. Whereas some of you are not doing it now. Numbers of cars are parked out here. I told my wife, I said, they better watch and they better be careful because God laid out a program. It's worked real good. And some of them wants to speed on the campground. See, they don't want a reverence. They don't want to have any time of curfew as to come in. I ask them to please try to be in around 12 o'clock. And they don't do it, neither does the children. You know, they want to come in all times of the night and do whatever. Well, anyway, I'm not accusing you. I'm not trying to reprove you. I'm just making some statements. And this is way off the subject as to what I'm wanting to say. I'm just saying this to let you know that I'm concerned. Now, getting to the point, as we say, we are living in the very last moments of time. We are in the end of the world. The covenant has come forth. They called it the covenant. Of something that Daniel had referenced toward around 2,500 years ago or thereby. Now, sometimes I say, like 2,500 years ago. I'm not saying it was 2,500 years ago because it varies. It could vary 100 years, 200 years. But I'm saying somewhere in the neighborhood of this. I could tell you almost exactly down to the time if I wanted to do it. But I just at random say this. I'm trying to explain a little as I go because there are people that try to pick me apart. They try to pick my message apart. Like we've got a sister that comes here. She's tried her best to listen to my tapes and pick this thing apart. And what it is, she's felt she is a woman preacher. And because I don't go along with women preachers, and I don't go along with women talking to men all the time, and this has been her way of life, and she doesn't like it. It don't fit good, so she don't cater to me too well because I don't cater to women. But anyway, this has happened with more than one person in my life. I even seen it in visions. But the thing is, she tries to pick my message apart. For instance, someone came the other day telling me that someone wanted to know why I used the word El Shaddai. I said, well, the correct pronunciation for that, as far as I know, is El Shaddai. And that depends as to how you approach it. Because it's just like a northern expression when in the north they say they're talking about the black stuff that accumulates in a pipe where you've got a fire. And they say the soot. Down here in the south, we say the soot. See, so when you say El Shaddai or El Shaddai, it's all the same. Spell it out, it'll come out the same. See, but anyway, they're looking and nitpicking. Somebody would say, well, I don't think so. Well, let's examine it a little farther. So then the person decides that they know that I'm not right. When I said something about the same person, I said something about Aaron having to do with the high priest and the veil rent in twain. So they inform someone that that isn't right. They know because they read the Bible. And they've been studying some things concerning the Jewish way of life and whatever out of history and books and Josephus. I don't know what all. Whereas Josephus was really nothing but a historian. If you've ever read after him, you know that. But nevertheless, whatever they get to them, that's like people that are so foolish in the world. They publish something in the paper and it don't make no difference what it is. People are so gullible, they say, I never knew that. You know, and they accept it just like that, swallow it down. When there's nothing more wretched than a newspaper publication. And sometimes you get the truth out of it. Oh, somebody said, well, you don't know. Oh, yes, I worked at one. I do know. I used to have to make up the ends. Now, so then when we speak of these things, it's something that we understand. And then forming was that they knew that this curtain was in ringlets and that it came up with the ringlets. I didn't say it wasn't. As a matter of fact, if they'd have been doing some real research on my ministry, they would have went back and got some tapes where I've spent days and weeks going into the tabernacle, the curtains, and the ringlets and told even what the ringlets meant in Revelation and told what the pillars meant and the gold toes and the fittings and all of the hooks and the hangings and the curtains and the tabernacle and the layers and whatever. See, that didn't have anything to do with it. It was a matter of how it was raised as to him to go in. Aaron was symbolic of the priest, high priest, Jesus Christ, a figure of him to come. And the Bible said when Jesus come, the veil was rent in twain from top to bottom. It didn't say they rolled it up on as a curtain in ringlets. So see, you've got to know what you're talking about and understand what's being said and why the reference and what we're trying to do. If we would be more interested in the context, in the truth, then the other way of life of trying to pick apart and find fault, then we would be all right. Now, like I said something a few minutes ago, everything was kosher. And when I said this particular thing, it went straight to a man sitting in the back. And his spirit ain't with me. It ain't lined up right. Why? I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything that he should have been upset at. See, what he should have done is swallow down. Now, aren't you ashamed to know that God's watching you? How can God, you say, well, Brother Pike, that's you. How can I already see and tell you you're back there? See, and you're talking about these kind of things? Nah. What it is your condition. Things hit you. Things don't fit you right. And it shows up spirits. This happens all the time. So somebody said, well, coincidental, Brother Pike. Maybe the person just whatever. No. The person still wasn't satisfied with that either. They had a strike at something else. And they said that they knowed it was wrong about the Urim and Thummim. And that they knew for sure that the Urim and Thummim was on Aaron's heart. because they'd read somewhere of this, and the Bible does. It gives those things as to where he bears that on the heart as to the children of Israel. And, of course, they went into something they had studied and read somewhere out of a book. But if they'll search, they'll find out that the Urim Thummim, that they're wrong in their concept of it, just the same way they are when they jump to something else about the ephod and begin to talk about something as to the headpiece, which it had nothing to do with, just as wrong as they can be. That the whole thing of the breastplate that had the stones as to the children of Israel being fastened to these things was one unit that had to do also with that they said was a headpiece, which was not but part of the dress, as I told somebody when they mentioned it to me. And that it was attached as a unit and as to ouches of two stones up here that had to do with the connection and with the breastplate and all of this as to the Urim Thummim. Now, see, and what it is, like I said, people have spirits. And that's what the problem is. And these spirits get exposed to some extent, and they're trying their best to cause trouble, to get something started over here, or something over here, or they want preeminence, or they want to be seen, or they want to be noticed. And because they have to become a simple, common, down-to-earth, sit-down-and-listen person, it breaks their heart and they're ready to chop the tree down. Let's give the Lord a...
Somebody say hallelujah.
Now, in these things, I'm not critical. I love you. I'll help you. I don't care who you are or what you are if you try to do right. I want to help you. God wants to help you. But folks, God doesn't fellowship spirits, whether they get on me or get on you or whatever. If a flea gets on a dog, I don't want to play around with a dog because he'll get on me. And I don't like fleas biting me. The dog's all right. I like dogs. And I pet dogs and I feed dogs, but I don't pet fleas and I don't like fleas. Let's give the Lord another hand.
So then there's a world of difference. There is a world of difference.
Now, everybody's with me. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be that way when I finish? But nevertheless, I'm telling you that we're living in the very last moments of time. Things are winding up and they're moving exactly in the direction that we've spoke of and the way that we understood that they would. They're moving in that direction. And I saw, even in the last few days, some things that had to do with the Jewish holiday, things that transpired, and when they sent the limousine for us to go over to the meeting to speak for them in their operation called the Covenant, which seemed to be a great, wonderful thing. Seemed to be working out good, helping to unionize the people to get them into one mind, whereas when we come here and started this, we were all in one mind, working together, and we loved one another, and we accomplished something. And then all of a sudden, when different ones began to be blessed, and this one got a business, and that one got a business, and this one got money, and this one got his own ideas, then they started pulling and tugging and dividing the congregation, and whether it was for money purposes as to a business or religious purposes as to get the attention of trying to carry on a business and make money and still be a prophet, whatever it was. And it just split everything apart. And then people got more interested in the financial end of it than they did the other. And they just played around the offices and everything just began to fall in because divided we fall, united we stand. That's a little saying among the people of the United States, and that's true. So when you don't gather with me, Jesus said you scatter abroad, and every man has run to his own house. Let the house of the Lord lay waste. Look to his own quarter for his own gain. And sure enough, that's what they did. The commandment was provide for the household of faith. First of all, especially for them. And then provide for your family. Seek ye the kingdom first, and all the other things would be added unto you. So they split them in splinters. When we come to church, I had to try to gather them together because they had all kind of minds, talking, gossiping, fellowshipping, going this way, that way. Their minds were everywhere but together and with God. And with this covenant coming together, pooling their finance, everybody making the drive that they have, they've been real happy. They tell me they're real happy. They either are some of the best liars that I ever heard, or you couldn't say best liars, but some of the biggest liars that I have ever heard, or either they are happy. And they say that God is doing something which appears to be multiplying the fishes and the loaves and making it take care of the bills, when they said they made more money the other way, but it was gone. Bring much in, I'll blow on it because you let my house lay waste. So you waste, and he that's wasteful is brother to a sluggard, whether it's his time or whatever. So I said all that to say this. It has really left an impact on the church to the extent the brethren are all together, unionizing in the morning, speaking the same thing like at the day of Pentecost. God has allowed it to bring them together like we did at the first and tried to get them to unionize that way at the first. See, and coming together, now they are more collective in their minds, more of a unit as one man or family. And when they come to church, it's so much better because it saves me all of that problem. They're already in one mind. And all I have to do is kind of convert them over a little bit as to the spiritual side of it. And here we go. And in the talking of the little services where we get together, it works wonderfully. So it's really proved to be a great benefit in a lot of ways. Now, I'm not saying that is to say those that are outside of the covenant are not great people and that they are not helpers. I'm not saying that. Neither am I saying that you're not going to heaven. That don't have nothing to do with you going to heaven or going to hell, whether you're in that covenant or out of the covenant. But I tell you what, it has really done a lot as to them that have pitched in and unionized and truthfully done the right thing, whereas just giving their all to God in some ways, whereas there's some among them that's not with them. As I told David, I said, there's some that's not with you. David, they're not going to stay with you. And David told me just a few days ago, he said, you was right. He said, it's showing up. And they haven't got their heart with it. So I'm not here as pulling for the covenant or against the covenant. I'm just telling you some things that's been happening. Some say, well, I know that. Well, sometimes I don't know whether you do or not. You know a whole lot about some things, but when I go to talk to you, it sounds like that you got them from the wrong fella. Now, and you got them all balled up like a little kitty with a ball of yarn. I'm telling you the way it is because I'm on the inside of it. And I can see it from both sides. Now, somebody said, well, do you belong to the covenant, Brother Pike? Or do you belong to them without the covenant? I belong to God. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody say hallelujah. So now we understand that. All right. When we come down to these things, I'm going to say some things not to be offensive. Listen at me real close. It's getting later, and it's getting later, and it's getting later. And you are my precious, darling children in the Lord. Paul said, you are my joy in the Lord. You are my jewels and my crown, if you really are my child in the Lord. I've begotten you as a father in the gospel. Though you may have 10,000 instructors, yet I've begotten you as a father in the gospel. And even when they had the dispute, Paul was a very wise man. He said to them, why do you do this and say, I am of Paul? Another says, I am of Apollos. Why do you do this, he said. Did Paul die for you? Did Apollos die for you? Didn't the Lord Jesus Christ die for you? Why then do you do this, he said. And he saw a division in the church. He was so wise. Paul said, being crafty, I caught you with guile. And as he talked to them, he persuaded them to put their eyes in the vision of Christ and take their eyes off of the humanitarian side of life or off of the objects of this world. And then when he fully persuaded them and had them to turn away, he said to them, it's not I that liveth, but it is Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Let's give the Lord a hand. He knew what he was doing. And he was very, very wise as to get around the cunningness and craftiness of Satan as to causing division. And if we would be wiser, we could do better. Even I myself. So you pray for me. So folks, now we're right down there at the time when division, everything else could come. I saw in a vision while I was off where division was coming. So I was sent back home. The Lord stopped it. And I thank God for it. We've never had a divided house here. Never. They get divided momentarily, but we've never had a split of the church. So I thank the Lord for it. That's a wonderful record. It's all because Jesus did it. So it's, well, I'm not with you. I said, in the church, I wasn't talking about people that just come to visit with us. So when it comes to this, we are not divided. We are one body, members in particular, the church. See, and we're one mind, one accord. And though we might be babes in the Lord, we're working toward the same thing. Race, creed, color, it doesn't have anything to do with that. See, we're all looking toward God, and we're trying to find the word of the Lord and come together in a unit to be translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, to get away from being as to a race or color or whatever, that we might just be children of light. Children of light. So when I say this, I want you to listen now. Things are growing colder, worse. It's like my Dale made the statement. She said, Daddy, said I just had something that really tore me up. I pray for her all the time. And she said it must have been about 3 o'clock in the morning. She said, you must have been praying for me. I said, yeah, probably was. She said, I had an experience, and said, in this experience, I saw my 2 sons, Tony and Junior, lift, going up into the levitation and just lifting like being translated or the rapture. And Dale's real serious-minded. This thing really shook her. And said, suddenly, I realized that I, myself, and Frank, the husband, had been left, but we had missed the translation. And said, I'm telling you, Daddy, said, Dad, you'd have to experience this, that a person would have to experience this horrible, hideous thing, as she was trying to express it in her words, as to know the coldness that I looked and I said, Frank, what has happened? And he said, God's gone. Said all of a sudden, God had lifted. And said, the coldness, the hardness, no feeling, and no love and whatever. And she tried to express it to me. And she was really moved. See, and that's just one dream or night vision. Daniel said, I dreamed the vision of my head troubled me. God spoke to Daniel, spoke to Joseph, spoke to Solomon, all in dreams. So I've had numbers of girls, men, women, that's had dreams and visions in the last month. And they've told them, and they are unreal. Like one of them that's had a vision, Billy Henderson's wife, the girl, as far as I know, don't serve the Lord, but she had some kind of night vision as to a dream and said she was watching television and said all of a sudden, which they do watch television, and all of a sudden said this hideous man came on the television and said he'd just come on whenever he got ready, interrupt anybody's program. Nobody could stop him. Said he said whatever he wanted to say and said he's just ugly and vulgar in his talk and whatever. Filthy, I believe she said, in his talk. And very terrifying as to an awesome sight. And said, and then all during this time, it started raining outside and said the rain was taking the flesh off of the people's bones. And you could smell the stench of the sinew round about. And she said her and Billy ran for the church, trying to get to the church, having the little one with them when they got to the church. Said they dropped the little one, and the church was filled with so much water that they dropped the little one into the water and thought, of course, it was going to lose the little one. And when they got the little one, he was all right. And a voice said, you don't have to worry. These waters are sanctified. And said, then they saw us there trying to get to us, and we was busy, and then trying to get to my wife. And said, then there was a big sheet put up, and then this man come on that sheet. Said, but the thing was, the way that I got the report, said it didn't move me as a minister at all. And said it didn't have any power over Little Bethlehem. and said we wasn't afraid of it at all. We saw it, we knew it, we understood it, and was watching every move of it. Now, you know, and the others that's come has told similar things. Something it's just it's fascinating just to listen at them. Folks, and them things are of God. God is trying to tell us something. What is it? It's late. See, Mr. Bush came in. I'm just talking to you. And you're going to have to take a few minutes to listen. Because it goes on tape, and I don't like to, for it to be broken in the middle. Some people don't understand. I can answer questions for you, but if it goes out there, I can't for them. Anyway, Mr. Bush came in, the legend of the destruction of the dragon. You know the old legend. And how that the dragon was killed. Mr. Bush followed that. He came in. And sure enough, we spoke of communism being overthrown, and it was. And you know the things that happened. Now, when he went out, I said, that's your government. I said, it's gone. I said, this new world as to America has waxed old. And I said, and the church ages are at an end. And I said, now everything is ready to fold up. That was your government leaving. It's going to shift. I told you what would happen. It's happened so far, right down the line, just like that. And some of them's getting their eyes open to it. And I said, the man that's in there, I spoke of him and I explained to you as to what. And then he turns right around and they published a little article as to take the band off of the gays and showed him with the key, the trunk, the military. And it was said, and when I open this trunk, will I be opening the gates or the doors to hell? And I said, they will pass it. And when they pass it, God will be through with it. He burnt Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Bible said the very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, being symbolic of the church, the fire and the brimstone came. Check the book of Revelation, and you'll find out where the church goes up, as John in the 4th chapter showing that, the door open in heaven, the book, and whatever. You'll find out just at the end of those church ages in the 3rd chapter, the 4th chapter shows the door open, the catching up, and just as quick as it went up, the seals are open. It shows that tribulation period as that the riders of the horse and that thing start coming in. The heavens roll back like a scroll, just as quick as the church is translated. See, and I know some, like they wrote me a few days back, I'll give you $100 if you can whatever you know about post-millennium, pre-millennium, this kind of thing. I didn't even mess with it. Because I could tell there's people of corrupt minds that didn't even understand, or some of them children. So I said, this is what's happening. And everything is winding up now. The casting out. And then the asylum in China. And then the drying up of the Euphrates. All these things has come down the line. And the great army of the East. And they'll unite and confederate together. And then they'll bring in this thing that Revelation speaks of overseas as that common market where the desolation comes in 1 hour. And they'll pool all their substance and they'll start shipping everything to that one thing. They'll change it to the German mark as to the money. And you'll have to have that mark going to the mark of the beast out of there where they call Hitler the beast. See, and Germany is a stronghold for Catholicism. From there comes Nice. From there comes Martin Luther. All of it going back as to the daughters and the great whore. So then in this, we spoke of this thing having to do with the government shifting from here to Germany. And then through the tribulation, and with that, it would come out as the Jews that would be put through the fire. The same old thing that happened to the Jews before when Hitler and them did what they did. Eichmann and whatever. See, and all the nations will be come together in that thing. And they will go through it. And this is no reproach to the German people, some of the sweetest people in the world. Some that love God. It's that old thing of the regime over there. Just like God uses the Germans for one thing. He uses the people over here for another thing, the England people, whatever you want to call them, or Caucasians or whatever, or the white man, the black man for another thing, the yellow man, the red man, all for a different thing. He made them so he could use them symbolically. In the world, they're just like six of one, half a dozen of another. Scrambled eggs, throw them all together, They're going to be, their brains will be beat out. Their blood will run along the pavement. Their guts will be all over everywhere. They'll be torn to pieces. All of them, leaders, rich, poor, black, white, yellow, red, all of them, the whole valley will be filled with blood. Won't be nobody left. Nobody, every one of them, he'll bring them in there as to nations. See, and all of them, they're in God. Whatever race, they'll be the ones that'll be spared. So, when we spoke of this, sure enough, what happens? I said, they'll come together, the man with the mark on his head. Remember Jimmy? Remember the plains of Dura? Remember the stature of Jimmy? Remember Jimmy Carter? And Atlanta? And we spoke of Atlanta becoming one of the greatest, if not the greatest city in the world, the crossroads of the world it has come to be. Now the biggest, whatever is to the airport up there, and now this place as to conference, they started having the governmental meetings from around the world. And I said, and Washington will go black as to the black people, showing that gross darkness has come in and taken over the nation. And I said, and it will move toward a black leader. And this does not reproach the black people, has nothing to do with that whatsoever. See, just like when the tribulation comes upon the Jews, Paul said, and him being a Jew, said, the wrath of God has come upon you to the uttermost. He said, because you have killed the prophets and you've stoned the wise men. See, and all of these things, I know we feel underprivileged. Like I said, sometimes the blacks feel underprivileged when they go way back there. Can evil come to a city? And I've not seen it, saith the Lord, but you still have to go way on back when the people of Africa also took the Jews back there, and you go back and dig, that'll rot out of the bones back there too. It's the same thing. If they want to get all upset, and it's been that way all down through the world, rip their throats, kill whatever, like as I believe it's called the turfs over yonder, where the white man went in there and fed the black people, loved them and cuddled them, and then some of their own going in there that splitting the throats of the little girls, ravishing, killing, tearing down, got them paranoid, wrecking, ruining. Whereas to me, if you was going to live by the sword, it wouldn't make any sense except to do one thing, and that's the United Nations come together like that and go over there and set them guys straight. Otherwise, forget about it, pray and ask God to help us. Forget about the sword. Now, so then, it is happening. The union of the nations that Gorbachev wanted, Mr. Bush went right on united, as to fight against that of Hussein. See Babylon rising up, all the problems, Israel coming to the picture. See, and all the United Nations and all coming together, and all of a sudden, the chief leader of the United States Army, as one of the chief leaders, Colin, resigns. And I thought, now, you're resigning so that you can make for that president thing. That's what it is. Because I mentioned a number of the leaders as to Washington and Eisenhower and some of these, and how that the general usually becomes the president. Now, it looked like he wasn't going to do that at all. But I said, it has to move toward the black man. And it will indicate gross darkness covering the earth in the latter times. Now listen real close. Today, they published in the paper a huge picture of Mr. Cole, a great big picture, and his desire and sayings is to run for president, whether he changes his mind or whatever. And they say in the paper, and we believe that he can get it. All right, now, and he mentions Washington, Eisenhower, and those generals, how that they went from that to the presidency. Same thing. I'll listen real close. The president went out. The government left the United States. The church ages began to be over. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the church sealed in. Gross darkness coming upon the people. More legislating of black power. Now, in this, the light goes out. It indicates darkness, and that the light goes out when the white man goes out of power as to the preeminence. Somebody said, well, he wouldn't be out of power. There's legislators, and Colin would still have to do what the legislators say. I know that. It's a good governor. I'm not complaining. I'm not saying anything about Colin or anybody else. I'm telling you something if you listen. See, but it indicates this, and I said that this would happen a long time ago. I said, it doesn't matter what you figure, how you come about, this is the way that it'll go. And women will be involved in it. And you know Thomas's wife. You know what Mr. Bush did. And you know what happened to this president's wife, how she's a lawyer and what she's doing, and how that she's put different ones out so she could control the women. And I said, and they'll try to change the government of the United States as to the Constitution, and already they said they were going to make it new. They've already made that known. The ban off of the sodomites, the government shifting back to where it come from as to the children of God. Believe you me, it's that way. And the thing moving toward Atlanta, Georgia, that's to Carter, which has great favor with the black people, and Martin Luther King's folks. We could say a lots and lot of things tonight. We're not going to try to. It has to do with even the meetings that's coming up, even the one in Memphis. See, but I'm saying this, that all of a sudden, the church has been sealed in. The light's been withdrawn now, and they've legalized sodomy. Somebody said today, said they wouldn't let them mess too much with the defense. They held it down and didn't let it go too much as to the military. That didn't have anything to do with what I said. Military has nothing to do with it. I said the government legalized it. As to the military, even Colin would be good for the situation because he didn't favor that. See, so if we get into particulars and details, they did what we understood that they would do. Now, somebody said, well, what does that mean? It means death. It means sorrow. It means heartaches. Somebody says, you mean to tell me that if the black get in power, that all of these things are going to happen as to these tragedies? Exactly to the T. Somebody said, you mean the black man's going to do that? The black man don't have nothing to do with that. The Bible said, can evil come to a city and I have not seen it, saith the Lord. He manipulates, he moves, he motivates every race and every tribe according to his times and seasons. And when it is a season as for this, as to one thing, he does it. When it is a season for this, as to another race, he does it. Now, then what are you saying? I'm saying that just like there are good folks that are Christians among the white, they're also brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. It is the same with the black man. It is the same with the red man and the yellow man. Now, somebody would say, well, what are you trying to say, Brother Pike? I'm trying to say the end of the world's here, like we told you. And I'm trying to say everything is right on time, like we told you. The birth of the child, the little things that's been taking place, things that you haven't noticed. Foolish and abased things of the world, the signs of the times, signs of the elements, all these kind of things. While you've been interested in you and your minister and your way of life and your things, causing a detriment to the move of God, instead of blending in and getting on, going on and helping me and being part of this, instead of gathering with me, always talking, always doing, always planning, always your program and your carnal mind enmity with God, scattering abroad. And of course, some's reading it. Now, when you say, can Mr. Colin come to power? Why not? As speaking of a man, he seems to be a gentleman all the way around. As to his wisdom, I heard a number of things that were said concerning the thing when they flew him out to California. And the wisdom and the thoughts and the things that he said was phenomenal. As to when they said, got racial right, he stopped it right there. He said, no, that ain't no racial right. And he announced it as to be the basis of it, the scallywags and whatever. And people that was just too lazy to work. And when he was confronted with something as to somebody of his own race that said something about their side of life and their depression and their underprivileged way of life, he rebuked them openly and told them to their face it was nothing but laziness. There was no underprivilege about it. That he was, as to the general, he was their same color and race, and look at me. God bless that man. Somebody say hallelujah.
God speaks through everybody. He loves without respect of person. As great a wisdom as I've ever heard. I even made the statement, knowing that something was coming around, and even thinking as I'm saying, I said, I believe that Colin would make a great, outstanding president. Still of the opinion that he would. And for sure, with this man that we've got up there now, he is contrary to what that man wants to turn loose in the military. That alone is one mark for him as toward the good. And the other things, the way he has handled the situation, even in the war when he fought to help preserve your life. So there's no prejudice, there's no feeling there, there's no nothing there as to whatever. One man in the presidency is just like another. He's controlled by the legislative powers of the Senate and whatever, and they have to work accordingly in harmony, or they can be impeached. It doesn't matter who they are. Now, but here is what I'm saying. Looking at the spiritual significance, it indicates total darkness, a total blackout. It indicates that the world is at an end, that the light of the church has withdrawn and gone out. Gone out. I could tell you some more things that I saw in a vision that would really shake you up. I'm talking about Atlanta, Georgia, and whatever. It still has to do with this thing, same thing. Now, everything's on time. Bush went out. The dragon went out. Now the dragon is in the earth. He's ready to go forth. He cannot go forth as long as there is light. And the white man represents light. And he cannot go forth. He must wait for the darkness. I told you the vision of the bear. And I told you the vision of the snake. And of the two hunters. And that the snake that was going to strike the bear could do nothing until these shadows that was moving like this toward the bear and the snake could come to them. The shadows had to fall, and the two hunters was moving this way, and they were trying to get there because they knew that it was going to be an all-out war between. Once that snake struck the bear, I remember America published it in big pictures on the signboard, projected themselves as a snake and said, don't tread on us. And we know that the king of the north that the Bible said watch is Russia. We know it always had to do with the bear. And that beast had bare feet when it came as that peculiar beast. And you know what has happened. You know the things as to the complete dismantling of Russia and what has just happened with Yeltsin and with the others. And they've made a joke out of the government. So, when we come down to this, what does it mean? Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, you mean that everything is going to go out like, I mean the darkness has fallen. The black people only represent the intellectual, educational system of the world. And they've gone after it with sports and education and the natural side with all that's within them. Whereas they never did do that before. They were contented with a moderate way of life. They were contented to take the other side of life or whatever it was. They were happy. They eat, they drink, whatever. They went after this because the opportunity came. It looked prestigious. And it looked like it was the very thing just like the white man done when he left righteousness and left godliness and left holiness after Washington and Lincoln, Jefferson and the great men of old established democracy here. There was a great and a mighty thing with decency. Now the white man has lost everything. People, men and women alike, have lost their virtues and respect for one another. And now the black man looks like he's got his chin and he is going after it the same way they did so that the same dart can strike through his liver that struck through theirs. Now, when the darkness comes as to the intellectual constraint of the old house of prostitution, which is diplomacy's education and legislative powers, whether white or black. Now, when this happens as to the great whole, the flesh, the feminine part that's corrupted her way, see before God, and that rejects the name Jesus. Now, when this happens, then you'll see China.
you'll see the red dragon start moving. And remember, they're going to correlate and come together. Never seen that before, but you'll see, and they'll strike at Israel. See, to kill that royal seed, that's what that pact is for. With this, the old red dragon's going to begin to move in the darkness. See, and when it comes to Germany, why did Mr. Colin, when he went out, why did they put a Nazi in his place as the chief, going from there to the presidency, as we say, and put him there to command America when he was with one, he was the son of one of the most vicious operations, according to the historians, that we've ever had in Germany among the Nazis. Okay, now, somebody said, well, coincidental, but why is it so coincidental when we spoke of these things? It's not coincidental. Somebody said, well, I don't see that. It don't bother me. I know it don't bother you. That's because you are ignorant. But Paul said, if they're ignorant, let them be ignorant. I would not have you ignorant. But if you're ignorant, then be ignorant. This goes on tape. People's going to be looking at it. They're going to try to pick it apart, just like they have everything else. And I'm trying to see it in the love of God. I'm trying to see it right for my children's sake and for all of the world's sake that wants the truth, or anyone that's trying to get into Christ to come out of that darkness into this. It warmed my heart today when Jonathan left that darkness, come out of there and give his heart to God. And I know he'll have a battle, and I know Satan will tug, but it's like the little saying of the Mountie, he always gets his man. Once Christ gets into that heart, you may fall seven times, but he'll get you. If you're his elect, he'll get you. When it comes to this, someone say then, you mean that Mr. Colin is fixing to go into office and this man comes out? No, I'm not saying that. Mr. Colin would have to go around until this man finished what he was supposed to do within his term. And then he'll have to run against whoever comes up to run against him. Could be numbers of people that would run against him. He could lose out. He might not even go in. But I'm trying to show you what has come up to pass the way that we said, right on time. See, now, on the other hand, he doesn't have to wait in the event that they decide to do to this president that we have now the same thing they did to Yeltsin. They can impeach him overnight. And it's been predicted that within the coming year that he'll be impeached by some philosophers or stargazers, or could have been somebody from God. I don't know. What I don't know, I don't need to talk about. I don't know. I just know, according to the report, that's what happened. I'm just going by what I understand. Now, I do know you can look into the stars and see these things. They knew when Jesus was born, the heavens declare his handiwork. They're set for signs and seasons. Wise men study them, them kind of things. I understand the stars, but I understand it from a revelational side. So, I'm just telling you, what if it does roll around? Roll around. It's so pretty imminent in the paper right now. It's no little thing. And people are so stirred right now. What if it does roll around and comes in at a certain time? Wouldn't it hit exactly where we said the problem would fall again concerning the year and the period? And as to this last thing coming up like a middle of the week, wouldn't it be exactly to the T as to where we said it had to do with Antichrist? Somebody say yeah or no. Now, but what if it happens immediately, the impeachment? Whatever happens, brethren, and we're looking at it according to what we understand, but we're saying this for the benefit of your thought. Whatever happens, it's for sure that everything is on time. Everything is on time. Now, what happens, just as a general thought here of me just making a general statement, what if Mr. Colin goes in? Let's look at it as a people that will be under his leadership. Do you think that he is going to make a fine president? I told you how I felt. Now, do you think there's going to be trouble? I think we'll have some blacks that will be some of the meanest, cruelest, most wretched people that ever walked the face of the earth. Someone would say, Brother Pike, you mean you feel that way about the black man? I certainly do not. I said, we will have some blacks. It will be that moment that they're going to feel we have got our hour. And it's going to be a horrible situation as blacks with blacks. I'm talking about causing the blacks problem. I feel personally, if it wasn't for what I know that's coming, as not having to do with the black and the whites or anybody else, that it would be probably one of the finest administrations that we've ever had. As a matter of fact, it's the same way with the white man. While the white man rules, we've got some of the meanest, ugliest people that ever walked on the earth, like snakes on their bellies crawling and snakes in the grass. Slit your throat. I've been out among them. I know. And they ravish little ones, tear down and kill and steal when they think they've got the upper hand. So all of them's alike. Six of one, half a dozen of another. Indians do it. The yellow man does it. The red man does it. All of them does it. See, there's only one rule that keeps them from doing it. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And did you know that in the millennium, the way the Lord will constrain that says if they don't worship, if they don't conform, if they don't come together with the leadership of his son, that they won't have any rain on their crops and they won't be able to eat, all of the nations will be under the leadership of the Jews. And did you know that the Bible said the same plague will strike them as when they rise against God, as at the time of the devastation when the armies are gathered together at the last and the end, and the eyes of the horses will sink away in their face, in their heads, and the eyes of the people, and the flesh will consume away off of their bones, like the woman seeing that about the rain. He means business when he sets up his kingdom. So he's going to give them all a bloodbath, all nations, to stop every government, so no government will interfere with his government, that it'll be one, and that'll be all. Folks, I'm saying these few little things, though you may know many of these things, but by way of remembrance, to stir up your pure minds and to fit a few things together for your benefit, that you might think on these things. I think as to the black leader, I think that this particular man, and he's a human being like everybody else, and all human beings has corrupted their way, and they have their own personal motives, whether it's the white leader or black leader, whoever, it's all going to be the same. It's only when Christ is in a man's heart that it's going to be any different. And when the people do righteously, it has always been historically, God raised up a good leader. Read the Bible, study history. When they do wickedly, he always raised up a bad leader. Now, I'm saying this, that as far as I'm concerned, I think it would be just as human beings, white or black, that the man is a fine man. I feel like he is. I could be 100% wrong. He may be a wretch. But I feel like he's a fine man. And I feel like that running for president, I see nothing wrong with it, because he has just as much right as anybody else, whether it be Spanish, whether it be German, whether it be a black man. We've got a Nazi in for a leader. We have all kinds of people. See, and they still have their legislation. They still have their senators. And God is still in control. He said, I rule in the affairs of men. I raise up one. I put down another. I work all things after the counsel of my own will. Can evil come to a city? I have not seen it. I create the good and I create the evil. And I prepare a man's heart. Whether good or bad, I lead into temptation. And I keep you from going into temptation. I smite, I wound, and I heal, and I bind up. So all the things is of God, whatever he decides. That's the way it's going to be. But I'm just saying that the way it looks right now, everything is on time. And I feel like it's going to continue to move on time and in the perspectives that we spoke of. Many things that we could say, but here with these few little things that we have said, has to tie them together just enough on tape to where if anybody gets into this, in the recordings, they can think it over, they can read it, listen at it, the books, whatever, and consider diligently what I've said, pick it apart, put it together, or say, well, my God, you know, I believe there's something in what the boy's saying. May record it right up here in this room, and Do you understand me, folks?
You have shown an excellent spirit.
Other than the man that rose up in the back, which he's washed that on away. This should be a lesson for him because he's a fine man. But it should be a lesson to make him know that he still needs to get rid of the natural and overcome the outer man more. See, put him down. He's your problem. He's all of our problems. But you have taken it in an excellent attitude, spirit, whatever. And I haven't felt as much as one of you rebel, be ugly, or whatever. Now, folks, let's let it be like that. Let's don't fight over it. Let's don't go out and criticize. Let's don't go out with a discrepancy. If you want to discuss it, as I said the other day, I'm not trying to bind your hands that you should not discuss things. You discuss if you want to teach somebody, help somebody, lead somebody, tell somebody, Brother Pike is not the kind of preacher that feels you got to come to me with everything and try everything and say everything and whatever. The Word of God is sufficient. God giveth to all men. You do whatever you feel to do. You are in sovereignty. But don't go gossip. Don't go backbite. Don't try to tear down. Don't try to pick apart. Don't cause division. Don't do these things. I tell you in the name of the Lord Jesus, the judgments of God will come upon you. This is the house of the Lord. I have the right to bless or curse. And I have placed my blessings on you because you are my children. You are the darling children of God, my precious brother. As Brother Branham said, he saw beyond the veil. See, and I love you, and I pray for you, and you pray for me. I need your prayers. See, and let's pray for our enemies. Love them. It don't matter what happens. Pray God will help them. Don't gloat over it. See, and don't go out and do these things. It's wrong. Just go out and say, well, praise God. I'm enlightened the more. I see the more. I can look at this thing square in the face. I know what it is physically, naturally, spiritually. And then whatever you do. Because see, whatever you do, it's going to be God anyway. If you're elect, you're going to stay with this. Ain't nobody going to take you away from it. And if you ain't elect, there's going to be something by and by, Jesus said, that will cause you to be offended. That's the parable. Read it and you'll find that out. Otherwise, you're going to be there. So let's stand together. I appreciate your patience. Maybe I kept you a little longer than I intended to. But I wanted you to know my feelings because there are going to be a lot of pros and cons. A lot of discussion. And I don't want division among my people. So we are one. And I want us to understand one another, to love one another, to work together, and keep the same unit, no division among us. I want us to do that. We can do that. We should do that. God wants us to do that. And God will help you. Now, it's like tonight. There is a brother that's missing tonight. Or the audience, perhaps, at home, perhaps, didn't come, perhaps. Why? If it should be that way. Let me tell you something, folks. God knows all about you. He knows your heart. He knows you're coming in and going out. He understands. He knows. He knows. See, but a lot of times the pastor knows too. The preacher knows too. Just do the things I ask you. Don't let spirits defeat you. Don't let your carnal mind destroy you. Don't do that. There's too much at stake. This is eternal life. You don't want to be turned over to the tormentors. You don't want to be put in darkness. Like Willie was saying a few days ago, he said a man about 40 years of age or older was dying. And Willie was standing close by, and he said, Willie, help me, Willie. He said, I feel a great suction like a vacuum, and he's sucking me into a dark hole, and I can't do anything. See, don't do that. Don't do wrong. Have a good heart. Have a good day. The day of the Lord. Have a real, tender, meek spirit. Use your faith in God. He's no respecter person. He loves you. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Don't worry about the government as to who's going to be in office. God has control. And he'll run it all. He'll take care of all of it. And you'll be all right. All things work together for good of them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to his purpose. Don't be alarmed. All these things have to come to be. Just remember God is in control. He's doing what he knows best to do. and it'd work out exactly to the T in all of his programs and the allegorics as to the invisible things of God. All of the invisible things, good and bad, from the beginning of the world are to be made manifest in the natural as to show you day by day that you might look beyond the veil and see these things and understand all things understood, even to the eternal Godhead, by those things which do appear, so that we are without excuse. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, folks. You pray for me. I'm praying for you. If you are enlightened, you see something, you come and tell me. I won't be offended. If you see something out of kilter in my life, out of balance, come and tell me. Talk with me. But don't try to pick things to pieces. Don't try to do that just to cause me problems, because you can be sure that when I stand up here and I talk to you about an individual or someone, that it won't be long and I'll be back talking to you about them, or someone will be back talking and said, you know what, that about Brother Pike, that, you know, he said such and such and such, and you know that individual, and so it was. So just remember that. See, stay clear in everything. Love the Lord and everything will be all right. Bless your enemies. Don't curse them. Do good to them and despitefully use you. Let's sing together, can we? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Precious Spirit. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. Sing that with me now, can you? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, yet in Jesus I am saved evermore. I need you, Lord. I need you. The altars are open if you'd like to come to the altar. The hour I need you, I need thee now, precious Savior. Wouldn't you like to live forever? Oh, how wise. Don't let any man take your crown. Don't let him take eternal life away from you. Hold fast. Let no man take your crown. You are made to live forever. And you are made to be God's young, strong, radiant, full of life, strength. I tell you again, the body doesn't wear out. 300 years of Enoch, it never wore out. 900 years with Methuselah, it never wore out. See, it's just sin. It's your thinking. Your faith is the results of your thoughts and your heart. And I will feed you the fruits of your thoughts. And God has come as the Word to rearrange, to give you the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. What kind of mind did he have? His mind was, my Father and I are one. And his mind was, I once was dead, but now I am alive forevermore. Is that the kind of mind that's in you? See, and God will feed you the fruits of your thoughts.
It's according to your thoughts. And faith is the constitution of your thoughts. See, so let's be sure that if we're going to believe our thoughts, that we're never going to go anywhere except where we're at. As a creature, as a beast, from the first man Adam. And think on this. Can I bring forth within my life anything outside of that which is rejected of God? I travail till Christ be formed within you. If you are in your natural body, as in the first man Adam, all die, aren't you going to bring forth the image of the devil, the image of the beast, the image of the rejected, the image of a human being? But if you're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and members in particular, aren't you going to bring forth Christ as to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ himself? Are you going to be Eve or Mary? What are you bringing forth in your present state of life, in your present mind, in your present body? You could never be anything but the rejected of God. But beloved, when you become bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, then you can bring forth the real man child in your life, and you can feel the presence of God and the glory of God and be caught up to the throne with him to rule, to live, to reign forever and ever with all youth and riches and power. While we're standing here, let's sing this little chorus together. And he was here all the time. Sing that with me. My Lord was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was here all the time, and he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joys that filled my soul. Something has happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me and he made me whole. Oh, he touched me. Can you sing that with me? Lift your hands up. Close your eyes. Let him touch you. And the Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Examine yourselves and see if you believe in what we're saying. Like a young lady that just come to be with us, she said to her companion, I believe the man's message. I believe Brother Pike is preaching the truth, and inasmuch as I believe it, I'm going to wear the long dresses, though she comes from a Baptist family. See, really, wearing the long dresses, it's a beautiful sight. It's the early American way of life. And that's why the government is shifting back to the originality. It wasn't so as in the beginnings. See, and it's the most beautiful sight there is in the form of dressing. And the men dressing according to that of a gentleman, and the woman that of a lady. And it's so wholesome. And it's the proper way. And it's becoming popular all over the world. See, be glad that you're being used as the head of the nation, and that God is using you to set the example. Don't you want to be the leader? Wouldn't you like to be leaders? That's what leaders are, somebody that's bold enough to step out and do something different. For he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, joyous, that flood my soul. Something has happened, and now we know that Jesus touched me, and he made. Lift your hands up now, close your eyes, and let's sing like this. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea, and time shall be no more, and I will praise. I'm going to ask Brother Richard the Jew to come up if he will. Will praise him, praise the Lamb.